Well, we'd like to welcome each and every one of you this morning on behalf of Independence Baptist Church. And today we're going to continue with a series that Pastor Reynolds has been bringing on Christ's Sermon on the Mount. Now, there have been many great messages and some that have really kind of made a person step back and realize what God's standards really are. And honestly, if you think some of those were hard to deal with, just wait until you hear this morning's message. You know, and as we turn the message over to Pastor Reynolds, I'm going to give you just one quick hint of the content for today. And it can be kind of summed up in the title. And the title is simply this: Love Your Enemies.
In the book of Matthew 5, verse 43 through 48, Jesus Christ teaches a very vital lesson. He teaches how we ought to love our enemies. The Bible says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." The Bible says very plainly here in this place that we ought to love our enemies. Jesus Christ taught this very vital truth. But the people that finally killed Christ by hanging him on a tree had a great idea, didn't they? As far as men are concerned, perhaps they do. But as far as God is concerned, they don't. But these Jews, they thought they knew how to take care of themselves. But they did not know how to serve God or even what God expected of them. They quoted the law, which they said everybody should love their neighbor and hate their enemy. In this place, they were quoting Deuteronomy 23, verse 3 through verse 6, which declares, "An Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to their tenth generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. Because they met you not with bread and water in the way when they came forth out of Egypt, and because they hired against thee Balaam the son of Beor of Pethor of Mesopotamia to curse you. Nevertheless, the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam, but the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee, because the Lord thy God loved thee. Thou shalt not seek their peace nor their prosperity all thy days forever." Well, what do you think? Were the Jews right, or was Christ right? Understand that there are many people in this world that believe that we ought to love our friends and hate our enemies. But that is not what Jesus Christ says. Now, this idea has nothing whatsoever to do with justice. Because when justice is served, it is served because of sin. That is the way that it is. But we don't have to hate those that are wrong. That is what Jesus Christ is teaching us. We don't have to hate those that do wrong, but we don't have to go along with what they are doing either. We need to do right because we're accountable unto God to do right. He holds us accountable in His own sight. These Jews, they say they are right, but they are wrong. They are using the Word of God deceitfully in order to prove to themselves that they are right. The Jews are believing that Christ is wrong when He plainly says it is absolutely necessary to love our enemies, to bless them that curse us, to do good to those that hate us and persecute us. It is a lot easier to hate. It is a lot easier to hold grudges than it is to forgive those that haven't asked us to forgive them. Think of that. It is a lot easier to hate. It is a lot easier to hold grudges than to forgive those that will not even ask us to forgive them. But the Jews are wrong. Christ is right. The Jews are wrong when they say it is okay to hate anybody, regardless of what they have done to you. But what scriptural example are they really following? One example is found in Judges 5. In Judges 5, we find the song of Deborah and Barak after they've had the victory over Jabin, king of Canaan. Jabin, you see, ruled over the people of Israel for 20 years, mightily oppressing them. When God gave Deborah and Barak the victory over him, they sang a song celebrating the victory. In Judges 5, in verse 31, we find these words. So let all thine enemies perish, O Lord, but let them that love him be as a son when he goeth forth in his might, and the land at rest 40 years. Were Deborah and Barak wrong to sing a song like this? Or was Jesus wrong for saying the Pharisees were wrong when they cursed their enemies? The answer is Deborah and Barak were right, and Christ was right when he says we are to love our enemies. Christ wants us to understand that the things of this world are temporary, not permanent. Jesus Christ wants us to know that he is permanent and that the things of this world will pass away. All the bad things of this world are going to be destroyed. We need to know that. We need to know that we're going to spend eternity with the Lord. Another question. Have you ever tried loving your enemies? Now, Jesus Christ suggested this. It was not me, because I'd rather hate my enemies. But Jesus Christ suggested that we love our enemies. Now, you might answer this. I don't want to. Or you might answer, well, I'm not going to let them get off as easy as that. I will never forgive them because of all the harm they did to me. Listen, but not forgiving people when they offend you is wrong as well. It is wrong not to forgive people. You carry with you in your life the grudges that you are holding. You don't need to hold any kind of grudge against anybody for anything. Let it go. Let God take care of it. God can take care of it. Sometimes God is waiting on us to let it go before he does anything at all. Now, in answer to the question, have you ever tried loving your enemies? You might answer, well, I don't have any enemies. Oh, yes, you do. Everybody has enemies. It doesn't take very long for a person to make enemies, regardless of how good they are. If you are too good, people will not like you, and they will say you are a hypocrite, because nobody is as good as you appear to be. That's exactly what they said about Christ. That's why they killed him. He didn't have any sins at all. But they didn't like him, and they crucified him on a cross. Think of that. Everybody has enemies. Even Jesus Christ. He's the perfect one. You need to forgive your enemies. But before you can ever forgive your enemies, you need to recognize that you have a few. Like all the other parts of the Sermon on the Mount, the message of Christ is not about vengeance or how to beat up the other person. The message of Christ is about forgiveness and seeing things from the other person's viewpoint. The message Christ is giving is how we can live a Christian life regardless of what anybody else does. You see, Christ wants us as believers, as listeners to Him, to not have animosity in our heart toward anybody. Christ wants believers to be able to be a witness even to those that hate us, even to those that despise us, even to those that use us. Remember what Christ taught in Matthew 5:39-41? He said in this place, "But I say unto you, resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if men will sue thee at law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain." What Christ is teaching in our text is exactly the same thing that he taught in Matthew 5:39-41. As humans, we all have sin in us. None of us are exempt from this plague. It is so bad in all of us that all of us will finally wind up in an eternal hell away from the mercies of God if we do not ask Christ to forgive us. We have offended Him. This is the message of the Sermon on the Mount, is that we are the great offender. And if we don't forgive our brothers in Christ, if we don't forgive others who have offended us, how can we possibly expect Christ to forgive us? Christ is the one who died on Calvary's cross for our sins. Jesus Christ never did die because He was a sinner. He died because we have sinned. He took our sins upon Himself when He died upon the cross. Christ is the perfect one, the very Son of the living God, who never sinned one time in the smallest manner at all. He is the perfect Son of the living God. Jesus Christ didn't die because of His sins. Rather, He died because of our sins. He forgives us of our sins, not because we are good people, not because we deserve to be forgiven. Rather, He forgives us because He loves us, even when we continually sin against His good commandments and His desires for us. This is the reason that Jesus Christ preached the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus Christ wants us all to understand that we were His enemies, but He loved us even when we were His enemies. Jesus Christ wants us to understand that very well, because there are people in this world that are our enemies, that Jesus Christ wants us to love them, because we need to be a image of Him. We need to be a pattern of Him. Listen again to what the Bible says in the book of Matthew 5, verse 43 through verse number 50. Jesus Christ declares that we need to love our enemies. Not hate them, but Jesus says we need to love our enemies. Listen to these verses. "Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth the rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." Jesus Christ died for sinners. This is exactly what Christ wants us as believers to do. Maybe not die physically, but Jesus Christ wants us to lay aside everything that hinders us. And one of the things that hinders every person is our enemies. You see, Jesus Christ loved us when we did not love Him. It is by the grace of Almighty God that any person is saved. But how many of us really want to be a Christian then? Or how many of us claim to be a Christian? A Christian is someone who is Christ-like, right? Well, do you love your enemies as Christ loved them? If you do not love your enemies, you are not like Christ, because Christ loved His enemies. Verse 44 tells us all the things we must do if we are going to be like Christ. Number one, we must bless them that curse us. The word bless means to praise. It means to pray that God would richly bless and keep them safe. It means to ask God to bless them and to use them for His benefit. Number two, we must do good to them that hate us. Number three, we must pray for those that persecute us and despitefully use us. Did Jesus live as He wants us to live? Well, of course He did. He is our example of how we ought to live. Jesus Christ willingly blessed those that cursed Him. And He wants us to willingly bless those that curse us. He is the perfect one who died for the guilty ones. We are obligated to be more like Him than we are to be like other sinners, even as we are. We owe all the blessings of God to what Christ has done for us. We are the guilty ones He died for. We are the sinners, just like everybody else is a sinner. We deserve eternal destruction in the lake of fire for our own sins, but Jesus Christ willingly and freely paid for our sins when He, the perfect one from God, died on the cross of Calvary for us. Do we deserve forgiveness of all of our sins? Well, of course not. But we have forgiveness, not because we are good, rather because Jesus Christ has been very good to us by dying for our sins and giving us eternal life. How did we obtain eternal life? By trusting in Christ's finished work on Calvary, not by any other sort of work we ever do. We are totally, completely dependent upon Christ to save our eternal souls, and we are completely dependent upon Christ for His grace that He freely gives to us because we have done nothing good that we can offer God for our sins. Verse number 45 states this, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. What is the first word of verse 45? Maybe I should read that verse to you again. The Bible says in Matthew 5, verse 45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Now, what is the first word of verse 45? It is the word that. You see, if any person really wants to be the child of God, he must do as God does. But what does God do for those that disobey Him? The Bible says that He makes His sun to rise on both the good and the bad. When God sends rain, He sends rain on both the good and the bad. Notice what Christ is saying. Verse 44 states, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Christ gives life and breath to every person, whether that person is for God or against God. You think of somebody in the Bible who was against Christ and showed his utter contempt for him and for what he taught. Think of the people that nailed Jesus Christ to the cross of Calvary. Did Christ do them good? Did Christ give them life? Did Christ give them breath? Did he give them health and strength when they drove the nails into his hands? Did he give them power to persecute him? Well, of course he did. Christ, you see, wants us to be more like him and less like sinful men. Christ wants us to be a good witness of his grace and his mercy that he has bestowed upon us who don't deserve anything at all. When Christ says here in this verse that we should pray for those that despitefully use us, he doesn't mean we should pray that God beat them up so they can't hurt us anymore. Now, I personally find it very, very difficult to pray that God would be very tender and loving with a person who has hurt me. Often, I want to pray that God would hurt those that hurt me. But this is not being Christ-like. It is not being a Christian. Did Christ hurt those that hurt him? No. Jesus Christ simply suffered their wrath and never struck out against them. Christ does not say that our enemies will stop hating us if we love them. If you think Christ is saying your enemies will stop hating you when you love them, you are sadly mistaken. Jesus Christ had enemies when he lived. He was perfect. He never sinned at all. People hated him and crucified him, nailing him to a cross. They drove nails into his hands and into his feet. They hung him on a cross because they hated him so much. But Jesus never spoke out against them. If you're like me, you may be asking, well, now, what do I get out of this deal? What do I get if I love those that hate me? What can Christ possibly give me that is sweeter or better than seeing the dirty rats that hurt me hurt by God himself? Ever thought that? Well, listen, Christ saves sinners, right? Christ saves those that previously hated and despised him, right? Read very carefully the book of 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 through verse 11, and pay close attention as I read this verse to you. The Bible said, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Now listen, pay real good attention to verse number 11. The Bible said here, "And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Did you catch verse 11, which states, "And such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God"? What Christ is teaching is that we ought to love those that hate us because we do not know who God will save next. God might save our worst enemy, the very person we have hated and thought we were doing God's service when we hated him. But what would we think if God would save that person? And then they would call us on the phone, or we would see him in the store, or see him on the street, and they would tell us of their salvation. And they would thank us for being such a good witness to them, when in reality, we were not a witness at all. You see, the grace of God is mightier than we could ever understand. Because Jesus Christ, when we were sinners, when we were against God, He loved us and He died for us. Jesus Christ died over 2,000 years ago. But the message that I'm preaching to you, because God in His grace has saved my unworthy soul and called me into the ministry. What a wonderful thing that is to be used of God in the direction that He wants us to be used. He is a wonderful God. He can save your soul. If you're lost, trust Him today that you might be saved. It is very evident that nobody deserves the salvation that God so richly and so freely gives. But Jesus Christ says to us that if we just trust Him, believe in Jesus Christ, if we just trust Him and not trust anything that we have done, rather that we would just trust Jesus Christ and Him alone, He will take care of our sins. Jesus Christ can forgive us. Nobody else can. Jesus Christ knows all about our sins. You can't hide anything from God because He's the omnipotent God, and He looks down and He sees everything that we've ever done. God knows us. Listen, God knows you. God knows me. There's nothing that God doesn't know. Today, if you're lost, recognize before God that He is a sovereign God and trust Him. I know for us to say that you ought to trust God is an incomprehensible thing, but it's really the truth. If you just recognize before God what a great sinner you are and take all your sins to the Lord and let the Lord forgive you, the Lord knows more about you than you know, and He can forgive you very well. He will forgive you. Just trust Him is our prayer and our plea for you, that you might find Jesus Christ precious to your own soul. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, and He's the Lord of Lords, and He can wash away your sins, and you can't. No church can. Nothing you could ever do would ever wash away your sins, but Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary that sinners just like you and just like me could be saved. Our prayers are for you.
You know, Brother Wayne, we want to thank you for sharing this message with us this morning. This message that Jesus Christ preached goes against what comes natural to us. You know, we usually want to strike out against our enemies. We want to seek revenge and destroy those that would be against us. And Jesus Christ here is teaching us that we need to love those people. We need to love our enemies. And personally, I can tell you that that's something that I know for a fact that I can't do on my own. You know, in order to do this, I have to get to the point where I'm going to turn it over to God. I'm going to ask for His help. I'm going to lean on Him for strength. And then I got to go out and actually start trying to show my enemies that I love them. It's something that we need to realize that we need Christ's guidance. We need His help, and we need to lean on Him and trust in Him and then put feet on those actions and actually go out and try to do it. You know, and sometimes it's easy to say, but it's not always easy to do. Now, if you have questions about this, I'd encourage you to log on to our website at www.independencebaptist.org, and you can use the link Contact IBC Pastor. It's there on the homepage. You use that if you want to send questions directly to us. Another way is you can actually call us. We'll be here at the church building today. You can reach us at 636-673-2180. Another option would be to actually, of course, just come by and visit with us. We're located at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri, and we'll be meeting together today at 10 a.m. for Sunday school. Now, following our Sunday school class, we'll have a worship service at 11 a.m., and then this afternoon we'll come back together for a prayer meeting at 3:45, and then after that prayer meeting we'll have a worship service again at 4:30. Now, during the week, we'll be meeting on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. for our midweek Bible study. And, of course, you are absolutely welcome to come and join us for any of those services. Now, for today, our time is gone, but we are thankful you're able to join us, and we look forward to talking to you again next Sunday at 8 a.m.